Okay, first Kings. First Kings 19, but we got to do some review here. Are you ready? Well, Danica, you're the only kid here that's got anything remembrance here. It's all up to you. And Zach, try to remember some of these guys. This is all about Elijah. Who was the good guy? Elijah. Who was the bad guy? No, he can't be both. Ahab, there you go. Thank you, Danica. Okay, so all this other stuff took place in the altar burning and all that stuff in the water, and then prophets of Baal are killed off and da-da-da-da. And then Elijah and Ahab takes off to Jezreel, it's called. It's a place, and he's gonna go, I guess, to better save that stuff. So then Elijah takes off, too, for Jezreel. So who gets there first? Who gets to Jezreel first? Elijah gets there first. Ahab takes off, but Elijah outruns him, I guess. So here, I missed that. See, I missed my first question here. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got choices here. So we go back to the game thing here. Okay, you beat me to it. I mean, is it A, Ahab, B, Elijah, or C, the hare, or D, the tortoise? Yeah, I've got to get that in. Tortoise made it. Yes, of course. He just continually went, and then Ahab just kind of dinged around on the way there and just kind of played around, stopped at McDonald's and stopped at some of these viewpoints and all that kind of stuff, and had to water his camel and the tortoise just slowly, and the tortoise makes it first. You ever heard that story? Oh, wow. Wow. So we got Ahab this morning. He's the first one there. Now, what was the name of the lady that Ahab went to see? A. Cruella de Vil. B, Jezebel, C, the sea hag. Now wait, you got to get all four. I worked hard on this, Danica. You got to wait for all four choices here. C, the sea hag. And four, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. Who made it? Who was the lady that they went to see? Cruella, Jezebel, sea hag, or Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo? Jezebel. Okay, that's good. Okay. Who was Jezebel? A. King Ahab's wife, King Ahab's pet dog, King Ahab's daughter, King Ahab's maid. His wife, okay, yeah. He would. Number four, how much time did Jezebel give Elijah to live? 2 days, 1 day, I'll count to three, that one, 40 days and 40 nights. How long did Jezebel give Elijah to live? You got 1 day. You've heard that before. You've got 1 day. Number five, where did Elijah, because Elijah then took off and he ran. He ran away because he was scared. Where did Elijah drop off his servant? Because you can't run and hide when you got people tagging along with you. Did he take him to Beersheba, Loudon, the local mall, or Bethlehem? Beersheba, very good, yes. How far? See, then Elijah took off into the wilderness by himself. Smart guy, if you're going to hide, you got to hide all by yourself. Did he go to the local McDonald's? Did he go 2 days journey? Did he go until he ran out of gas? Or did he go 1 day's journey? What? You don't want to go too far. Just in case you can get out again. So he went 1 day. Now he fell asleep under a tree. What kind of tree did he fall asleep under? Weeping willow, dogwood, juniper, or an apple? Juniper. You're doing really well. Now, Elijah was sleeping. He was asleep there, and something touched him. Was it under the rock bugs, centipede, an angel, or a bear? An angel. Okay. You're doing good. What did the angel tell Elijah to do? Run further away, eat and drink, be merry, go back to sleep. No. I know you like that, but no. Try again. Run away further, eat and drink, or be merry, and go back to sleep. Eat and drink. Now, this next one will tell you what he had to eat and drink. What did the angel leave with him to eat and drink? Cake, bacon on the coals, eggs and bacon, a bag of lollipops, flesh and bread. Cake, bacon on the coals. Pretty good, wasn't it, yesterday and the day before all your morning breakfasts? Okay, let's see here. Oh, now, what touched Elijah after he fell asleep again? Because, you know, you eat, you take a nap. He must have had a sugar problem in those days. But Elijah was touched again. Was he touched by Another angel? The angel of the Lord? A millipede or a cricket? Angel of the Lord. So you see the difference there? First time he was touched by an angel. This one's angel of the Lord. I just wonder if that difference isn't really important. What was Elijah's strength for his next journey? Where did he get his strength? A, from the food, the naps he took along the way, stream water, or his membership to the local exercise club? Was it the food that gave him his strength, the naps he took, the water, or his membership? The food, yeah. How long did it take Elijah to travel to Horeb, the mount of God? I got to give you the choices, don't I? Sorry. 40 days and 40 nights? Overnight? A year or 40 years? I'll give you a clue. It took him a while. 40 days. There we go. And 40 nights. That's a lot of setting up a tent. Do you know the other name for Mount Horeb, by the way? Mount Sinai. So who else has been on that mountain? I'm searching these things, yeah. Let's see here. When he got to Mount Horeb, where did he go? Did he go to his local church? Did he go to a cave? Did he go fishing? Did he go to a fancy motel? A church, a cave, a stream, or a motel? That's what your grandpa would do, but no, he went to a cave. That's what your dad would do. So you go to that cave in there. And what, when he got into that cave and everything and all these little things took place in there, what did the Lord ask Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? How come it took you so long, Elijah? Did you bring your fishing pole, Elijah? What did you think of the cake baking on the coals? What did he ask him? What are you doing here? Very good. You got good ears. Or did you know that one? See, that's good. Yeah, what doest thou here, Elijah? Well, Elijah answered, and he said he was jealous for the Lord God of hosts. He was jealous. Why would he be jealous? He thought he was, the only one left that hasn't given up. He thought they were trying to kill him too. Both of those answers, or none of those answers? I mean, what's that? Both of them. Very good. They thought he was the only one left. Whine, whine, whine. I'm the only one left that believes this Bible to be the Word of God. And they're going to kill me too. And then we have some nature activities take place here. What was not something that took place? What was not something? Somebody out there, you're looking out the window at the tornado coming down the street here. Come on, let's go. Whistle in here. What was not something that took place? Okay, this is what was not something that took place. A strong wind, an earthquake, fire, volcanic eruption. Volcanic eruption, yeah. Grandpa, you got to learn to do the Charlie McCarthy thing a little better. Got to not. Okay, so yeah, they didn't have any volcano go off, so that's kind of a neat thing. So of all these things that took place, where was the Lord? Was he in the wind? Was he in the earthquake? Was he in the fire? Or was there just a still, small voice? Still, he did much better than at that time, Jerry. Didn't have to even move him at all. You didn't know these things. You did well. Now we try to get some application for us today. Where is the Lord today? Is he in all these fancy churches out there? Is he in all these weather hurricanes and things taking place? Is he in all this hoopla dupla music out there? Is he a still small voice in our little Bible? He's a small voice in that little Bible, and that voice actually is the biggest voice in the whole world. It's just that everybody's ears are plugged and they don't want to hear it. You ever had your mom say something to you and you didn't want to hear it? Yeah? And you know that you can kind of not hear it if you're not listening. Yeah? What? What? Have you ever looked at Danica's face, Mim, and said something to her that she still didn't hear? Yeah, see? But that's okay, Danica, because You can learn how to get over that thing, but you got to remember that your mom is good at that, and she was taught when she was a little girl by her mom and dad how to not listen. And Danica, your grandpa and grandma were taught that too by their parents. But I don't think they were taught near as well as you've been taught. You weren't taught all that well, were you, Grandpa, when Dad spoke to you? Did you ever not hear him?
All the time.
Oh, see? So, and Zach, he heard me. Nice leg, Zach. Got the old short term. Okay, here we go. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's get into some more of Elijah. Oh, man, I tell you, we got so much that's going to go on here. Let's go to chapter 19, verse 13. And this is the verse where he says, God asked Elijah, when you heard it, it says, and when it was so, verse 13, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. So apparently he was deep in the cave. So he came out where the cave started there, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel were beginning a whine. Now, you ever whined, Danica? Olivia, you ever whined? Well, Elijah whines here a little bit, and sometimes we do. Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. There's nobody else going to go to church with us. There's nobody else that wants to believe a King James Bible. Nobody else wants to do right. Nobody wants to wear a dress. Nobody wants to quit doing this at the lake. Oh, whine, 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 whine. 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. You having a hard time there? Just move it over about 3 inches. Is that what you tried to do? And it just all fell apart? It's a lot like your life, isn't it? Just a couple little small things and poof, her life is a disaster. Yeah. This is when you want to have a camera on this end. Look at the tomato walking around back there, a little poop on the head there. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha. Here's this Elisha guy pops up. The son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehola, shalt thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. So he's whining about all this stuff, and then God says, listen, you're going to go see Elisha, and you're going to pass this thing on, pass the torch, and it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Isn't that amazing how God knew all this stuff? He knew what was going to happen here. I think that's kind of a neat thing. Yet, here we go. Let's put the whine down here. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Come on, Elijah, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 others out there somewhere. They're just not in your cave. We're fortunate to have what few people we have left in our cave. And I'll tell you, as we get into this Timothy stuff, we may have more room in the cave. We'll see here. So, it goes on, and these things take place here, But let's go down here. Let's go to 2 Kings. There's all sorts of things that take place in here. You can read those as you read. We can't cover everything. We'd be here forever, and I'm anxious to go. I figure he's going to wrap us out here as soon as we're done the Old Testament thing. So let's push this thing along here. But now he's already met Elisha. But let's see some other things now that take place, though, in Elisha's life. Let's look at verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Oh, what's happened here? The rotten, lousy king has died. He's gone. He's history. That's what happens when you're dead. It's in the past. That's history. And Ahaziah. Oh, there's another rotten guy. We went from Clinton to Bush. We're going to go from Bush to who knows, whatever her name will be. But now look what happens to this guy. And Hazael fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Kind of a disease to get for falling out of a window. You get broken up. But that's how he puts that thing here. He must have got a glass poisoning on the way down or something. Of course, he probably didn't have glass. I suppose it was wood poisoning. Probably trying to go back in. You know how they walk out the window, try to go back. You ever seen that? And he probably grabbed the wood sill and tore it and got all infected and who knows how, but he's going to die. He's a king, and he hasn't been in the throne for very long at all. So he says, okay, messengers, go to Beelzebub, go to the devil and find out how I'm doing. That's a lot like going to the hospitals today, isn't it, Sue?
Something
like that a little bit. Oh, Dr. Beelzebub. Now, you know you'd get a good surgeon on that kind of a statement. Are you Dr. Beelzebub? You probably wouldn't know who that is anyway. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed in which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And the pastor went fishing. He just said, you're going to die. Can't tell the king he's going to die. Adios. Goodbye. I've got to go down to the creek. Verse 6. How far does we want to go? Let's just keep reading this thing here. You know what's going on here? New king falls down. He's dying. The king goes to the devil to find out what's going on. And Elijah said, you should have gone to God. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed in which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came to you meet you and told you these words? Now, here's a little bit of what Elijah looked like. Nothing like you see in these Sunday school curriculums and these little cartoon books and stuff they put out there. And they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Uh-oh, we know now, this is not good. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto them, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And that's a little bit like that guru stuff. You got these little prophety guys up there in the little white sheets on the top of the mountain. Remember those guys? What do they call that guy? Is this the guru? Just a guru? What's that? Yeah, all those kind of guys up there with their little book of poems and all that. Book of poems and a hard book kind of a thing. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50, which meant that he was a what? Man of God. Well now, Mom, can pastor do that? Well, then he's not a man of God. Not like these days. These guys could do some serious things in those days. Boy, let me tell you. I want to have a few people in the cave with me. The thought has crossed my mind a few times, but now my face is starting to look like patience when the stand fell down, so I guess I better keep going here. Who am I? And Elijah answered and said to the captain, I already did that one. 11. Now this king doesn't learn quickly. Dad, Olivia, have you ever done something wrong and then you got in trouble a little bit, you know, and then you did it again? You ever done anything twice when you know you shouldn't have done it? Because Mom's saying yeah, so you might as well say yeah, okay. I won't ask you what it is. I'll ask Austin later. Well, the king, who didn't learn the first time, again, also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, at least they got that right. O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto him, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And what do you think happened? Fire came down again. It's a lot like when your grandpa tries to get the campfire started the other day, maybe. Did he do a good job? Sam did it. Grandpa couldn't get the sticks rubbing fast enough. Did you pour gasoline on that thing? Do you remember what they put on that? Not gasoline, but lighter fluid or, you know, nothing? Just out of sticks? Wow. But that's okay. You just soak that little critter and kind of step back and poof, you got a little backwards Elijah thing there because it goes up. But his came down. Burnt those guys again. Crispy critters is where I think they came up with that phrase here. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Boy, isn't that amazing? I mean, Danica, Bolivia, and all you little guys, you just picture this stuff. This is real stuff. This is what happened. And he sent again, boy, this guy does not learn. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Oh, he's begging. Have you ever begged your mom or dad? Oh, please, please, don't. Ever done that? That's called begging. In case you never have done that. I mean, maybe just. Do you ever do that, patience, in your life? You ever begged your dad, mom?
Doesn't work, though.
Doesn't it? Austin? You ever begged your dad? Not to hit him? Not to spank you? Not to hit you. Not to spank you? He just took it like a man. You didn't do anything wrong. There we go. That takes care of that. Joey? You ever begged? Huh. Did it work? Well, look at verse 14. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. Hold on, he's still talking about this. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. Oh, look at this. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Oh. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. But you got to remember something. Didn't this guy kind of change his ways a bit? See, if you'd have quit begging and changed your ways, maybe that third spanking wouldn't have come. You ever get three spankings over something? You ever get any spankings? Well, that's good. You get it more than Austin ever did, you think? Nah. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed in which thou gone up, but shalt surely die. Oh, look at this. So he what? He still died. So much for having a staff. So he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram. Well, I'll tell you, that's just some marvelous stuff that took place there. Elijah was totally into miracles. Wouldn't that be fun? Let's go to chapter 2. Now we get to the exciting part. Although I think having fire coming out of heaven is pretty exciting. Especially I'm not the one in charge. I tend to get a little nervous when I'm in charge. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Wow. You ever seen a whirlwind? You ever seen them on the water? Got these water sucking up into that thing and all that? Carp and sturgeons and all these fish flying around up there and stuff. You ever seen the whirlwind on land? I hope we don't see one very close here. You don't want to pretend you're Elijah. Oh, unless somebody, you know, hey, Austin, Go see if you're Elijah. He wouldn't want to do that. Yeah, last year, right? So would it come this way, it would have hit the hills, it would have skipped over the church and dropped right down at the Tushy Market. That's where that would have happened. Lately, in the last couple of years, some tornadoes have been just wiping out towns. Just, town is gone. It's gone. Well, farms. Ooh, crops. But that's okay. These guys could jump up there, and they could take a rope, and they could lasso with it. That's a different story. Here we go. Yeah, that's a different story. Okay, that's not Elijah Bill. That's Pecos Bill, a different guy. Okay. Okay, look at 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's get back to this thing here. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Okay. Verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha. Now we're back to this Elisha guy. By the way, who are we going to talk about after Elijah? Elisha. So we might as well kind of warm this up a little bit here. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, I just skipped the part where we met Elisha up there, didn't I? Well, that's okay. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Elisha's not going to leave Elijah. He's going to stay close to him. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, let's get to the good part. Should we get going? What do we got here? Oh, the sons, and they do this, and they do this, and they talk about this, and sent me to Jordan, and the 50 of the sons, and the children of Jordan took his mantle wrapped together, and went on dry ground, and it came to pass. Verse 9. That was what you call speed reading, having no idea what you read. Well, we got to get to this. This is so exciting. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. That's not what you could do for your country, but what your country can do for you. Hey, that's where you got this from. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? I'm dead and gone, and I'm dying in my bed, and Jerry says, Pastor, what can you do for me? I hope you have twice as many problems as I ever had. Amen? No. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. These guys always answer questions with riddles and things. Have you noticed some of these riddles they do? Can't you just say yes or no? No, if you see me going up, yes. If you don't see me going up, no. You can bet Elisha paid pretty good attention. You know? And it came to pass, here it is. Are you ready? And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, they were just yakking away, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Those are some hot horses. You ever lit your horses on fire? I wouldn't think that'd be a good thing. Yeah. And if you saw one out in the forest somewhere, you'd probably try to put it out. And you wouldn't be going up to be with God, because see, that was it. That was his flaming chariots and flaming horses. And he blew it. It's a good thing Elijah was not a firefighter. Put out half of his service before he gets done. There appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, that's Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Wow. That's neat. That's neat. I mean, parting the Red Sea is a pretty spectacular thing. And all these guys did some marvel, but you know, chariots of fire, horses of fire, and down and move your gig away from Elijah and you're out of here. What a way to go. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. This had to be upsetting for Elisha. I mean, Danica, if you're outside, Olivia, and you're outside, and the Lord comes in a flaming chariot, flaming horses, and takes up Austin and Sam, or Zach, and leaves you here on this earth. Oh, wait a minute. You'd be jumping up and down. Take me, kind of grab some of the flaming rings, you know, or whatever. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing to have somebody, can God come down and get you like that? Well, you know, he's going to come down and get some people someday. And I'm just going to be surprised if there are some people who are going to be pretty disappointed that they didn't go. He took up the mantle of Elijah, verse 13, that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You see him in the river there? He's almost like having a fit. He's taking this mantle, flapping the water there. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. Boy, wouldn't that be something? I mean, this Old Testament is full of miracles, full of things that we can't do today. Chariots of fire takes him out of here. Mantle falls off. Elijah picks it up, starts whining and slapping the water, and the waters part. Well, that'd be something. That's something in itself. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. That ought to have made his day. I mean, he just watched Elijah take off, and he's over there, where's God? And he finds out that God's down him now. So we'll learn about Elijah next week. But let's go to Matthew. No, let's go to Malachi. Can you find Malachi? It's the book right before Matthew. I didn't know anything came before Matthew. Well, it does. Malachi, chapter 4. Malachi, or Malachi, is a little prophet kind of a guy. And he says to people, just before the Old Testament is kind of over here, sort of over, he says something to these people. Now, we're way past Elijah's days now, and we're way past all that. He's dead and gone. Not dead and gone. He's lifted out of here, the whole thing. But he's gone. But Malachi says in verse 5 of chapter 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Wow. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So this is when the Lord's going to come back. This will be at the end of the tribulation, obviously, right? Because it's the day of the dreadful day of the Lord. Right? Okay? So even though we know he shows up in Matthew, which we'll look at in a minute, that's not what Malachi is talking about here. So, if that's the case, look at verse 6. Now tell me you've not heard this verse 1,000,000,000 times, especially homeschoolers. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, there's a lot of people that are taking that little verse right there, And it's, you know, kind of making it into a sweet little thing. We like to get mom and dads back to the children, make a good Father's Day message, and get the children to love their dads again, da-da-da-da. But the context of that thing is tribulation. Because if the kids don't go back to dad, and the dad doesn't get back to the kids, da-da-da-da, God's going to smite the earth with a curse. Is that what's going to happen? But your family may fall apart, may have a hard time, because dad and the children aren't getting along, and you can make all sorts of messages on that. But on a reality basis, that's talking about tribulation there. And I just think it's interesting how people will take stuff, and they'll spiritualize something and make it into a good, convicting sermon, but the consequences are not there, like he says it's going to be. Let's look at Matthew, because this Elijah guy shows up again before this time of the tribulation. Let's look at Matthew 17. Elijah's ministry was far from dull. When he was on this earth, he played with fire a lot. And he left with fire. And now here we have Jesus down here on the earth talking to the Israelites, coming down to be their Messiah. And in Matthew chapter 17, this is what takes place. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, he gets them out of their sailboat, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. Transfigured. He was changed. He looked different. Totally different. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, let's see here. I think Mark 9. Mark 9, verse 2. Let's look at Mark 9. There's more account in Matthew, but let's look at Mark 9. Mark chapter 9, there it is again. Verse 2, there it is again. And it's also in Luke. We're just going to look at Mark's here. Mark chapter 9, verse 2, here we go. And after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John. See, they're the same thing. And leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. That's good. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no floor on earth can white them. I mean, it's as white can be. That's white. I'm not even sure we've ever even seen that white. This is pretty white. But there's whiter than that. This is white. Right up in here, there's some white ahead of us. It's as white as you've ever seen. But it's not as white could be. Because it says there, as no floor on earth. There's been nothing that white on earth is as white as that was. Isn't that something? And there appeared unto them Elias, that's Elijah, with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. Isn't that something? So Elijah showed up again. He's been gone for a long time, and he shows up again. He and Moses, who's been gone a long time, talking with Jesus. And Jesus had changed. He had to change because he was going to be with these guys, talking to these guys. It's even different. It's even more different, girls, than when you go to the store and you buy new clothes and you come home and you put on new clothes. Oh, look at this. You haven't been transfigured, though. Because you're still you. But if you can shine white with any white on this earth and the clothes, then you've been transfigured. Don't count on it. It's not going to happen. But it did right here. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Peter just never knew what to say, did he? He's kind of a funny guy. For he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Just a little thing that took place on top of a mountain. Elijah shows up again. But that is what Malachi said. He said he was going to show up during the when. Just before the Lord comes back, that Almighty Day, he's going to come back during the tribulation. So we go to the book where we hear about the tribulation. Where's that? What book tells us about the... Very good. Yeah, Elijah, right there. Right. You getting it, Luke? Zach? Come on, listen. No, they're not there for Sunday school this morning. Okay, Revelation 11. Now, Livy, do you know what happens during this little scene in the tribulation with Elijah? Can just bring any memory to you? Okay, good. Danica, do you remember what took place here do you? Grandpa been talking to you? Okay. Mama been teaching you this stuff? She has. Wow. Well, here we go. Here we go. This is what took place. Verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Boy, you know, if you're going to come back, you think you could dress nice. But there's a purpose for why they did sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. Wow. This guy, Elijah, just has this thing with fire, doesn't he? He's just always playing with fire. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophesy. And power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Such a ministry these guys had. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. These guys die, right, Danica? You're going to die. And their dead bodies, because when you're dead, your body's dead. So you say your dead bodies, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. These guys are going to lay down in the street. They're dead. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They'll leave them on the streets and they'll be looking at them on TV and computers and wrist phone. Everybody can see them. Now, can you imagine 150, 200 years ago, reading it, wondering how everybody could see these two guys dead in the streets in this one place. And now we're living in a day where we know how they're going to see them. Dan Rather. Dan Rather. Katie Couric will probably be announcing this thing. Here we have in the streets of Sodom and Egypt, we have something that seems to be a biblical type of an event here. How they say that. This is a biblical type of, biblical proportions, they say. But they don't even believe the Bible when they say that. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. Because these two prophets, who are they? Moses and Elijah. Tormented them that dwelt on the earth. So they kill these guys. And they have a party. And they give each other gifts. I'll just bet you they wrap them in pretty paper, put bows and strings on them. I bet they probably even got a mistletoe thing they could stand underneath and smooch with each other, because it would be guys and guys, and by then it would be a terrible time. So what do we do today that the Bible doesn't say we should do, but we do, but it sure does have an awful lot of ring to what? This thing right here in the tribulation when they're going to be celebrating these two guys being killed. Here's something for you. We love you. We got those two guys. We finally shut them up because they were just tormenting us for how long? Yeah. Wow. And they'll probably just say something like, ho, 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 we got them. Isn't that? That's one of the things about Christmas that just bothers me. It's such a type of what's coming. Okay. But this is what's exciting, Danica. You ready, Olivia? What happens, you know? You guys are dead in the streets. Everybody's watching them, looking at their dead bodies, and they're on TV all over the world. You know what happens next? You know what happens next, don't you? Danica, you don't know what happens? Oh, you don't know what happens next? This is so exciting. I mean, these guys were killed. The world hated them. They're on TV, dead bodies laying on the street. And they're having gifts and packages. You don't know what happens next? You want to know what happens next? Come back tomorrow. Oh, we can finish it this morning. Here we go. Verse 11. Can you read that? Danica, can you read that? Start reading verse 11 just a little bit. I think these are your words.
After 3 days the spirit of life from God and him.
Okay, Olivia, can you read the next phrase?
And they sit upon their feet.
Shoni?
And great fear fell upon them which saw them.
Did you know what you read there? I mean, they got up, and God gave them the spirit of life, and they got up. Look at verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. I mean, not only did they come alive, which is pretty spectacular, they could probably say that in the medical world, well, they weren't quite dead. They just appeared to be dead type of a thing. But they won't be able to explain this. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. I mean, this is Bible. This is what God says is going to take place. And their enemies beheld them. Boy, are you thinking that would be really something to see? You don't want to see that. You don't want to be there when this takes place. This is exciting, but this isn't exciting enough for us to want to stick around and see this thing. No, Mom, I'm going to hang around for the tribulation because I'd like to see Elijah and Moses die and become alive. I'd like to watch the look on Katie Couric's face. Well, what do you think the look on your face would be in verse 13? In the same hour, same time, was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant, that's the other people that didn't die, were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Well, I'm glad they learned to give God glory, but you don't want to be there. Let's give God glory before this thing takes place, and then we've already read it. If we have such special effects in our brain, can you not picture this, these guys preaching away, telling people the Lord's coming, that everybody's laughing, mocking, they're getting mad, and they finally kill these two guys, and they're laying on the streets for a couple of days, and the TV cameras everywhere, and the whole world's watching them having party, 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 and all of a sudden, boom, they stand up to come alive, and boom, they walk to heaven. Talk about end of a party. Then there's an earthquake. All these people die. The city falls apart. They run out of insurance. They haven't had any insurance. The medical world can't handle it. And the preachers are going, you know, I'm not supposed to be here for this. But they'll be here for that. So I'll tell you, Elijah, this guy is really something. Remember how we first got started with Elijah? And how much is that? And then fire this and fire that. And then water and fire. And fire these people. And then boom, out of here. And then he's there in down here in Jesus, and now this thing dead and gone. Well, I'll tell you, this guy had one exciting life. What can we learn from Elijah? But that isn't going to happen to us today. I can't fire you. But why do they call that? I know why they would call it. You're being fired, you know, kind of a thing. You've been fired. Whatever. We can learn a lot from Elijah. I don't know what you learned from Elijah. But there's all sorts of different things we can look in there. But I learned, I'm really glad that we have a Bible. You're going to have to learn the hard way. In fact, we're going to learn here in a couple minutes for sermons and stuff. Okay, there you go. It's Elijah. Now, who's next? Elisha. Elisha, he's next. We'll do him next week. There you go.